live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 237. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, joined as always by my co-host, my counterpart, El Capitan, Jonathan Birdsong, JB. How are you?
Oh, man, with such an intro like that, man. I'm doing just fine, man. Just really getting into the holiday mood, man. You know, do not have my Christmas shopping done yet, but I have started, man. So with that being said, man, that's what I got going on. Hopefully everybody's got at least something of their Christmas shopping started. But, like, man, Brandon, please give us the rundown for tonight's show, official.
Absolutely. We've got college football talk tonight, big college football talk. We've had the conference championship weekend. We've got recap of that. We've got the college football playoff announced. The four teams are in. We'll talk that a little bit. We did talk it a little bit the other night on Sunday night's show. Very little. We got news and notes around the college football world. We'll recap you on that if you haven't heard from us earlier in the week. We've got NFL reaction as well, the NFL going on as always. So pushing towards the playoffs, we've got talks with that. Some quick hitters, just some news and notes from around the world of Major League Baseball, college basketball, and the association. So that is our show this evening. John, let's dive into the world of the NFL first. First thing I have on my brain, and I think, hold on, let me a second. I think I've got something. Maybe.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. Can only play 4 seconds of it before you get copyrighted. NFL, let's start off with the home team, Indianapolis Colts. John, Sunday night looked good.
Oh, man.
But the first quarter was good. Second quarter was good. Third quarter was okay. They're hanging in there. Not the greatest game, a little sloppy. And then Dallas decided to whop 30-something points on in the fourth. And, my God, the Colts got their asses handed to them.
Yeah. I've said it before, man. If you have a bad fantasy week, then start the defense against the Colts, because Matt Ryan is going to give your he's giving it up. I've never seen such a huge drop off, man. It's not like I want to run a victory lap. I mean, if anybody kind of follows me via Facebook or Instagram, I mean, via Twitter, like, yeah, I was doing victory laps because I said this, like, man, you know, just looking at like how every kind of shook. The thing's kind of shaken out with Matt Ryan last year in Atlanta. And, you know, of course, people are going to say it wasn't terrible. It wasn't great either, man. Matt Ryan just doesn't have the fast pitch. He doesn't have it anymore, man. So he can dial up some goodies every now and then, but he doesn't have what he had even four years ago. You know, so, you know.
You got the tweet.
I got the tweet to put out. Like, so again, man, I accept everybody's apology. And I wasn't really looking for no victory lap. Brandon, it was ugly. It was ugly for sure. And his quarterback play, so that like he can't put that back out there. And I don't even know if you can put that back out there, like for him personally, whether he's with the Colts next year or not, because you got so much bad tape now that the NFL just knows that he's basically washed up. He's off his coordinator. You know,
John,
man,
they took a knee. They took a knee. I've never seen the team that's losing take a knee so they don't get their quarterback killed or have less yardage.
Right. So I kind of go back to, I mean, we'll talk damage control or like what happens afterwards, man. But, you know, again, man, not to put it all on him, which we could definitely do, but, like, man, you didn't put enough together in the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter. Like, you know, third quarter, you said it was just all right, man. They're like, it needs to be all right. Jonathan Taylor, at one point, everybody, had MVP level conversations at one point last year. Not necessarily this year, right? But like, dude, I get it. He's a running back, but running backs do get pretend like, dude, what are you doing? How are you being a leader? I don't know, man. It's an ugly baby. They know it. Jeff Saturday was a big rah-rah move at this point. And, you know, I honestly, Brandon, I thought that if they won three games, that he would be named the coach of the Colts. I don't foresee that. Like, man, we see this problems with his play calling and his procedures. Like, he doesn't know what the heck he's doing.
He doesn't even know who the – he said at his press conference on Monday or Tuesday, he goes – they asked about Matt Ryan, about his arm being hurt, because you noticed some of the – he had an injury previously, but if you know the wounded duck, and he goes, oh, well, they don't keep me updated on those type of things. Wait, what? You're the head coach. You know everything.
Right. You know everything. Correct.
Right? Justin Powell says on Facebook, so where do the Colts go from here? I think vacation, right? That's about all they can do.
Everything's in evaluation mode now, and they'll say this is a game because mathematically, like, it's kooky. If the Colts somehow can muster a win here, they'll still be in it next week if they can beat Minnesota. If they can beat the Minnesota Vikings, they'll still be, like, playoff mathematically. But they still got to win, like, all the rest of the games, man, and it's like that's, like, virtually impossible.
Well, the good news is they don't play this week, so that's
well, you know what I'm talking about.
They can't
play
lose
Minnesota.
On that.
They play,
oh, I know.
They play,
that's a good thing.
They play Minnesota. They play Minnesota coming out of the bye. I hope it doesn't get as ugly as it did with, you know, say offensive like it did with Dallas. Minnesota can run some scores up on you as well. Hey man, you know what, Brandon? That's just the elephant in the room, bro. What is going on here with so like the people? Remember, let's take the page back, bro. The people wanted a quarterback when Andrew Luck, because, like, that's what it is, man. And then this kooky story comes out about Andrew Luck. And
Brandon, that came out of blue, didn't it? Didn't that story come out of
nowhere? I had to check myself on what my reaction was when Andrew Luck retired. I think I might have said wow to a relative. Outside of that, man, like, that is what it is. It is what it is. It's not even a story anymore. I mean, it's a little bit of interest to me because I'm kind of, okay, all right, this is why he did it. But, like, he retired, and it should have been over. What the problem was, they never did go get another quarterback, a new quarterback. You can't keep
right.
on getting somebody else's quarterback. You're not going to get nobody else's best effort when they've already gave their best effort for 10 years to the San Diego Chargers. You're not going to get nobody's best effort when he's already a battered and bruised, broken quarterback, and they already won a daggone Super Bowl in Philadelphia with Carson Wentz. You're not going to get somebody's best effort when they already had a daggone meltdown how many years ago from the Super Bowl, Matt Ryan. But there was a shiny nickel at one point there. So why does that organization, the Colts, keep on going to get somebody else's instead of just dealing with the issue? Andrew Luck retired on you. Jim Irsay. You gave him $25 million. Brandon, did he give him $25 million to shut up? Or to kind of tell a story that kind of paints him in a picture that, you know, remember what he said? It's between his hands?
That's what they said.
The problem between, okay. Well, Andrew Luck, according to this article, it became a smart football player that's like, you know what? You got a lot of cachet in your pocket, and you're a young guy right now, man. So, like, why keep on getting yourself beat up for all this?
Right.
That's what that was about. That's what that article's about. So, who could argue with that kind of logic? When you got just as much Peyton Manning money, and you ain't half as beat up yet as Peyton Manning. But you're getting there. You see what I'm saying? Anyway, Brandon, I don't know, man. This is a hot mess. That is not
that every week.
It's not going to be right, but it's not going to be easily fixed by rah-rah, you know what I'm saying, former Colt player and a new quarterback in the summertime from Alabama or Ohio State or wherever. It's going to take somebody, and it's going to take somebody with some know-how, and it's going to take Jim Irsay. Like, dude, you got to get your fingerprints. You got to go on vacation because you're kind of the problem. You're also the problem of why this is where it is right now.
Yeah, it was a hot mess. I had to check myself what year it was when I saw this article come out, the random timing of it with Andrew Luck and just that the whole thing with I feel like I'm reliving it again, but you got to get quick to retreads, get somebody new, get yourself a quarterback in there, get yourself we'll talk about him here later on. Get your Max Duggan, get yourself a who's the other quarterback that's coming out of the draft? I can't think of it. Don't even say Bryce Young. I'm thinking somebody else.
I think Cam Rising would come out because he sure would be there like a second.
Man,
third
you
round.
Are you may be the biggest Cam Rising fan there is right now.
That might be.
Crossroads, we may need to get him, buy Jonathan a ticket,
well,
and get
listen,
him out there to the bowl game.
In 2 weeks, ladies and gentlemen, in 2 weeks or so, the bowl show is going to be me and Brandon and Tanner going to have the bowl show, and I'm going to give my prediction now that I got Utah beating Penn State. But
of course,
we'll get into all that later, baby.
Who doesn't? Maybe that's the Rose Bowl. That's the Rose Bowl. We'll get you out there to Pasadena. That way, that late third quarter, when the sun's starting to set on the mountains and it turns a kind of orange and the sky looks crazy, that's the best time. It's the most picturesque photo. So we'll talk that more once we get to
we'll
the college.
Later. Right. But back to the pro rank.
Patriots are bad. They're bad. Buffalo beat them like a drum, 24-10 at New England. I thought New England may have something, but I still don't understand. You got two guys running offensive coordinator. Both of them, one of them has never ran offensive coordinator before in his life with Patricia. And that's another team right now, surprisingly, just looks like a hot freaking mess.
Right, because they were supposed to take the level. They were supposed to take the next step. Maybe not the step that nobody thinks Mac Jones is as good as quarterback as Josh Allen or really even Tua. You know what I'm saying? So the Patriots are last. They probably feel like they should be definitely second and competing. You know what I'm saying? At least with that defense, the pieces that they because they spent 2 years ago they spent money. We know
right.
this. 2 years ago they spent money, but you got this young quarterback who you thought you know think could be in you know that he could grow with the team, and because you sent you know what I'm saying we sent offensive coordinator out to you know what I'm saying. Now he's with the Raiders now, and now you brought Joe Judge back. I don't know why. Favors. All these clubs are run on relationships. We know this, but Joe Judge is back in the Patriot fold, and like you know what I'm saying, maybe some of Joe Judge messes, you know what I'm saying, misses that he brought that he had with the Giants. You know what I'm saying, the confusion is now confusing Mac Jones at quarterback. But Brandon, I mean, I'm not gonna cry for them at any point, you know what I'm saying, being a you know what I'm saying, longtime Colts fan myself, you know what I'm saying. But like no man, they got some questions to where I would say, Brandon, like personnel wise, they have to take a strong look at a quarterback in the upcoming draft, and like if they gotta get rid of Joe Judge, man. I think he's the confusing part in definitely in Mac Jones' ear.
Okay. Steelers, John. My Steelers won again. They beat the Falcons 19-16. That's three out of the last four they've won. Kenny Pickett's quarterback rating gets better and better. Minka Fitzpatrick with the pick. He probably could have scored on that last interception. But he just ran it out of bounds at the 3-yard line. So they took a knee, but could have been higher up, but yeah, Steelers got a big win. Najee, 17 of 86. Pickett was 16 of 28 for 197 and a touchdown. No interceptions. That is that's three straight games of no interceptions for Pickett. So the team is finally starting to click a little bit offensively, slowly. Mike Tomlin coming through the tunnel. There's a viral clip of a clip of a fan. Or somebody saying, "Hey, Mike, let's go at halftime." And Mike says, "Man, I'm effing working." It's classic Tomlin. I love it. I am a little concerned, and it's been all over the news in Pittsburgh media this week. George Pickens had a temper tantrum, acting up on the sideline, screaming, "Throw me the f-ing ball," and it got caught on camera. And so I don't like to see that from a wide receiver that early in his career. Tomlin says, don't worry about it. He's young. He's immature. We'll teach him the professional way of doing things. We'll teach young Rook and go there. So I have faith in Tomlin. I mean, he's withstood Big Ben. He's withstood Antonio Brown. He's withstood Le'Veon Bell. If he can withstand those three, he can just withstand this. So I just don't want it to turn into the fiasco that they've had. Yeah.
Right.
So
what do you think? So, like, I mean, you know, going into offseason, I know we're not necessarily totally offseason just yet with them, and we don't necessarily know where they'll be picking. And just yet, we know they need some help on that offensive line.
O-line, yes.
Would you lose your mind if they selected somewhere with one of their picks, like a tight end?
Yes, because we just got one last year, Freiermuth.
Could never have enough, man. But
we got three. Oh, we got three good ones already. We got him, Zach Gentry. I mean, Derek Watt. I mean, shoot, we got We got Connor Hayward, which is Cam Hayward's brother, younger brother. He scored a touchdown, caught that pass on Sunday. Yeah, we got enough tight end. We need offensive linemen. Offensive line. You can never have too many offensive linemen, right? Ask the Colts fans. Can never have too much.
Oh, sizzle.
So, I mean, tell me when I'm lying. Spot the lie. John, the Green Bay Packers continue to own the city of Chicago. With a struggling Packers squad, a struggling Aaron Rodgers, he's still Chicago's daddy. And I'm seeing quotes that Justin Fields is the 55-minute man. Because for the first 55 minutes, it's great, and then it just goes to shit in the final five always.
Well, you know the talent. Like, what's left on that defense that's in Chicago, right? The two teams kind of going nowhere fast, man. I was shocked that game turns so sour on Chicago. Again, man, everybody who's a Bears fan knows that they are setting themselves up for either a Drake draft order, right? I think they're projected right now like a top two pick, and they don't need a quarterback, and other teams do. So, like, what does that look like? What do you get back in return? You get to fill holes. You need help in Chicago. You need help on the offensive line. You know you need help at wideout. You know you need definitely production to replace Roquan Smith, which you traded out. All that's fine and good, but that's not coming till next year, right? And on top of all that, including salary cap, too, right? $130-something million underneath the salary cap. Maybe you get some of that lineman help. Maybe you get you a free agent wide out. Who knows? Maybe by that time, Odell's 100% in his knee. He goes to Chicago. Who knows? I doubt it, but who knows, man, right? But, like, no, man, all those things, man, are true. But, like, right now, it's the Justin Fields throw, and it's kind of just him, man. And so, like, yeah, it kind of came up short. It has kind of come up to the last couple games, man. So the Green Bay Packers just found a way to win. It's not like they didn't look crappy themselves for the first two quarters of that game. So,
right.
Two teams kind of going nowhere, you know what I'm saying, in opposite directions, man. They're already, Brandon, can you believe they're already talking about parting ways with Aaron Rodgers already? Parting ways after next year?
So, hey, again, man, Jordan Love's in the background. I don't think he's going to be too bad. Colts should try to get Jordan Love.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know about that, buddy. I told you, Brandon, nobody else's car. We don't want nobody else's car. We want our own quarterback.
That vehicle hasn't even been driven yet, John. It's just been taken off. It's just been taken off the truck, and it rolled from the truck to the lot. And it's just been kind of sitting in that lot. Nobody's purchased it. It could go fast.
Listen,
the engine looks great underneath.
It's Ballard. He was on Ballard's list. He was high on Ballard's list.
Oh, Lord.
In that draft, Ballard didn't have Ballard, but they're not drafting. They're not going to trade for that. Absolutely not.
Grigson went drafting.
Oh, my God. Our show has gone to Grigson. Good night.
Titans lose big to the Eagles 35-10. I don't know what the hell's happened to the Tennessee Titans. They just fired their GM the other day, which is I think there's more to come out with that, but that was wild. John, this one, I want to ask you, Dolphins 49ers. 49ers lose Jimmy G. Trouble for them. There was talk that they may have tried to get Baker Mayfield. Baker ends up going to the Rams, and apparently he's going to possibly play tomorrow night after a one-day trade. That'll be interesting to see. But really 49ers win 33-17 over the Dolphins. Kind of thoughts on that?
They found a way to win, man. What's his name? Purdy? That's the quarterback?
Yes. Yeah.
Purdy, not a lot of tape on him, man. You take what you can get. If I think reports are now that they saying that our guy won't be out for the rest of the season. That he might be able to come back. It's not a complete break on his foot. So they're still thinking like get to the playoffs, get healthy, and Garoppolo, can get him over the hump. So. But I don't know, man. That's a long shot. The NFC is pretty much wide open now, for sure. I won't say that. I still think Philadelphia is the strongest team. But, like, now they don't necessarily have to worry about San Francisco, because they won't be 100%. They won't be. Even if Garoppolo sits out for 3 weeks, right, or the rest of the season. Like, you're talking about Russ now going into the playoffs. And now you're talking about, like, I don't know, Brandon. All roads kind of lead, as far as the NFC is concerned, it's kind of up to Philadelphia and I would say Dallas.
Yeah. Okay. John, you never asked me this week for my top five.
Man, it's just a busy week. We got to get it up there posted, man. But who you got? You got it in your mind?
Yeah, I got it right here. I actually wrote it down today just so you could, tonight. Number one, I've got the Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles at one. I like what I'm seeing from them offensively, defensively. I've got them at one. 11-1, well, rightfully deserved power ranking. There's been a change. With the next one, the Buffalo Bills come in, John, at number two. Josh Allen, right. Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis, that core of Buffalo. As long as they got that healthy secondary, they can go a long way. I got Buffalo reclaiming the number two spot in the power rankings. Number three, I've got the Chiefs. The Chiefs fall to number three in the power rankings. Patty Mahomes, Travis Kelce. Those two are still huge juggernauts on that squad.
Wait.
And the fact that there was a tie for third, but on a tiebreaker, you go to the quarterback, and I went to Patty Mahomes and the Chiefs for three. Number four, John, I got the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys, they could have been number three, but Mahomes is better than Prescott, so I went all reliable with the Chiefs. But Cowboys at number four, they're looking great, John. They very well, any other year, man, this would probably be number one for them. And then number five, I've got the Vikings. So the Vikings at five. Dolphins have fallen out. They fell out. Vikings are 10-2. They just beat the Jets 27-22 over the weekend. My question, John, I'm looking at all five of these teams. All five of these teams scare me. Not in the good way either, because all five of these teams are capable of just going out and laying a dud, right? Like, it's beautiful to see all five of them doing it. So I think this is might be the one of the most wide-open years for somebody to win the Super Bowl.
Well, I'm glad you said that because you kind of covered yourself when you say that, man, because I wouldn't have never had Minnesota. I'm waiting for the fall on Minnesota, and I get it why you put them as your 15 because they do have a decent record, and they are playing well. But if Minnesota had to play, I even on their own turf, the Bengals, they lose. I'm telling you, the Bengals is ascending. I'm a little bit more hot on the Bengals.
You realize they're doing the same path they were doing back last year at the same time right now?
I'm saying, man, they're getting good when it's time to get good. Well, I don't know. I almost wanted, like, you know what I'm saying, maybe – Yeah, well, nobody wants to lose, right? But, you're absolutely right, Brandon. They're doing what they're doing, getting hot. And right now, Brandon, correct me if I'm wrong, the Ravens are going in the opposite direction. Lamar's hurt. Lamar's also at odds with his contract. And Lamar's hurt. And they're losing. We kind of know what's going on. I mean, you know, we kind of know what's going on with Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's in a rebuild mode. So they're not necessarily challenging for the North Division. Right? And Cleveland is dealing with rusty old Deshaun Watson. Here we are with the Bengals, getting ready to win the AFC North. There you go, man. And setting themselves in position. Probably, I don't know how it's going to work out. Could they host a game, or would they still have to go on the road?
Who, the Bengals?
Yeah.
Well, they're tied with the Baltimore Ravens right now for first in the North. They would host if they win their division. If they don't win their division, they don't host.
So let's just go ahead and say they probably host, because I see Baltimore further collapsing. I'm not saying what's that.
Baltimore's going to lose this week.
I like the backup to Lamar. He's a good. He's capable backup. Excuse me. He's a capable backup, but they got a lot to overcome. They had Super Bowl aspirations, and they can't get to the Super Bowl if Lamar ain't 100%.
Yeah, they're going to lose this weekend. They play the Steelers. So.
Oh, boy.
They're losing this week.
You saying they losing?
Yeah.
Wow.
You heard it. Give me one second. I'm gonna go. Oh yeah, they losing. It's in Pittsburgh. They losing. Yep.
No, he has to make sure.
Well, we play them twice in the next 4 weeks, so it's crazy. Both the games are at the end of the season this year. John, you're talking about seeding for the playoffs, and you're talking about scariness. Right now, let's go NFC real quick. Right now, your number one seed would be obviously Philadelphia, 11-1, number one seed. The new format now is there's only one team that gets a bye, and it's whoever's in first and home field. If you finish in second, no longer do you get the bye. You play in that first round, that wild card round.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So there's only one team that gets a bye. So right now in the NFC, the 2-7 matchup is Minnesota and Seattle. And you don't tell me you can't see Seattle possibly doing an upset up in Minnesota laying an egg?
Right.
So Minnesota, Seattle, San Francisco would play the Giants.
They'd have to go play the Giants.
Yeah, they'd be in San Francisco.
Oh, it could be inside. Okay, I got you.
Because San Francisco would, quote, win the division at 8-4. And then the 4-5 matchup, cover your ears. The Dallas Cowboys, 9-3, have to go to Tampa Bay and take on Tom.
But that team down there looks terrible. They barely could beat Tyler Heineke.
I'm just saying.
Was that whoever was it? Who was the cut? It wasn't Ty. I know it wasn't Jameis. I church.
No, it was Andy Dalton, the red rifle.
Yeah, the red rifle. Horrible.
Let me put this to you. If you're the Dallas Cowboys, do you maybe tank a game and fall back
and let
the Giants go to second in the division?
This is Crossroads Sports.
If you're Dallas, wouldn't you rather play San Francisco than Tampa?
There's nobody afraid of Tampa this year.
Buddy, I'm telling, in the playoffs, on the road, come on now. They better be nervous, because piss will be going down their leg if they go to have to go to Tampa Bay. Mark my words, if they go to Tampa Bay, they will lose to the Bucs in the wild card game.
Stop it. They will not.
I'm telling you. Gentleman's bet.
Giselle's
Dallas?
Huh? You heard me.
No, I didn't hear what you said.
I said Giselle's gonna be there.
Stop it. This is my only response to that.
You're asking me dumb questions, guys. Really dumb questions. Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. New sounder. Hockey coach pissed in his press conference. Just, you know, I thought I was going to get this asked to me on Saturday, and I was ready for it.
You're asking me dumb questions, guys. Really dumb questions. Jesus.
Yeah. But I'm just saying that's where – and you look at the AFC. Buffalo would be your number one seed by means of a tiebreaker with Kansas City. So Baltimore – or Buffalo would have the bye. Your 2-7 would be the Chiefs and the Jets. Your 3-6 would be Baltimore against Miami. And your 4-5 would be Tennessee, Cincinnati right now. Obviously, Cincinnati is ascending, so they can easily move up to the 3 seed for that. So we'll see where we're looking at. Standings-wise, Indianapolis Colts are 13th in the AFC at 4-8-1. The Steelers, 12th, 5-7 against there. So, let's see. The Colts are overall in net points. The Colts have the second worst net points, overall net points rating in the NFL out of all the teams. So, not really great.
Not good at all.
Not good at all. Let's see. We talked a little bit. Yeah, Joe Burrow. I mean, we talked Chiefs real quick, but Joe. I think I found Patrick Mahomes, future Hall of Famer's kryptonite. It has to be Joe Burrow and the Bengals.
They seem to have got their number, man. They just got to, you know what I'm saying, stay injury-free. And probably look a bit more. Just make sure that he's upright. He's obviously the star of the team. His connection with Higgins and all the other receivers, right? That's the way they make that team kind of goes, man. But they have to damn near play error-free offensive football and make sure that he's, you know what I'm saying, not sacked 1,000 times.
Head coaches getting fired. We've had what, 2 so far? Matt Rhule and Frank Wright. The next head coach, John, that I see getting the boots, because I'm sitting here looking at these teams right now, and there's not many. I don't think they're going to get the boot this year. There's not. The only two I have on my list is the Denver Broncos coach, who's kind of completely had an ass of a season.
Nathaniel Hackett. Okay.
Nathaniel Hackett. And the other one is going to be Brandon Staley with the Chargers. This team has so much potential with the talent on its squad on the offensive end and on the defensive end.
Right.
And with that quarterback Herbert in there, and you're 6-6, and you just lost to the Raiders.
And they made all those trades, Brandon.
Yes, yes. I think he's on the hot seat. Has to be, right?
Has to be on the hot seat. Has to be on the hot seat, and you would think that the way, again, like teams can change, and they can change stream, right? They can change the way they play. They can have a come-to-Jesus moment. Look at like, oh, this is what we need to be doing. But bar often than not, man, you are what you are when, you know what I'm saying, once you get into your habits, you don't change. Once, you know what I'm saying? They got a shot. If they can, could they make a run? Could they get hot? Could they come together? But we've been waiting for that. It hasn't happened yet. So I don't know if it happens, Brandon. And I think, like I said, they have new leadership there next year in L.A.
I've got my prediction. I think Sean Payton takes over at the Chargers next year.
Man, not come to Indianapolis?
Come on, man. That's already the guy's already there. He wants it. I mean,
his name will come up for sure.
I think he could be their head coach. And then maybe just maybe Kingsbury and Arizona, just so bad how they've so badly underperformed. 4-8.
And just because, like, yeah, him and the quarterback, you know what I'm saying, going back and forth. He better hope, he better just hurry up and get fired now then, man, so he can get one of these college jobs. They take him back.
There's a spot in West Lafayette for him. It runs the same offense.
Give it a couple more weeks, might be a spot in Bloomington.
Oh, no, they love that guy down there. They love that guy.
Get the bucket. We got to get the bucket, man. That, Brad, you got to find a little snippet of the audio. Have you ever heard that before when he's losing his mind about to get in the bucket?
Oh, yeah. I heard it on the Query and Schultz, or not Query and Schultz. Jake and Bowen show.
You would have thought the bucket had like $800,000 in it or something.
Man,
he was
is,
that serious about the team winning that game and getting the bucket, man. I've
forgetting
seen the bucket a couple times.
What's the coach's name? I'm forgetting his name.
Who, Tom Allen?
Tom Allen, that's what it is.
The head coach of IU.
He's ready for that bucket.
I appreciate y'all being here. Just want to start by just saying how proud I am of our players once again. Just going back and had a chance to watch the film. And
we're ready for the bucket.
The fight and the
He's ready for the bucket. I hope you're not going to watch Thursday night football tomorrow night, John. You could probably go to bed early. Raiders and Rams. Snooze fest.
It's probably going to be the Raiders. Raiders got to win that game. But if Baker Mayfield, they're going to try Baker Mayfield out. Does he know the playbook?
Does it
That's
matter?
Be an interesting game tomorrow. I'll at least watch the first 10 minutes.
Jets and Bills this Sunday. That should be a good one in Buffalo. I think the Bills obviously get it done. Mike White, the Mike White era is, I think, going to be approaching the end here soon. Browns and Bengals, Texans and Cowboys, not really good matchups. Vikings and Lions, Eagles, Giants, that'll be good Sunday. Eagles and Giants at the Meadowlands. That'll be good one. Steelers, Ravens, Jaguars, Titans, Chiefs, Broncos, Panthers, Saints, Seattle. I think a good one at 4:25, Buccaneers and 49ers. That'll be a good one to see.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa Bay coming off that hell of a comeback win the other night. And then Sunday Night Football, John, you get a good one to watch. The Dolphins going to take on the team we just talked about, the Los Angeles Chargers. And then Monday Night Football is Patriots-Cardinals. There's six teams on bye this week, which kills my fantasy squad. Falcons, Packers, Saints, Bears, Colts, Commanders. So, and we had another tie this week. So what are we doing?
Wow.
What are we doing, NFL?
Ooh,
get it together.
Fraud. Just stop.
Just completely.
Sports, man. Out loud.
Hey, man, if the Colts have all these primetime games like crazy, because now they're having another national televised game, the prime one on Saturday next week against the Vikings. But that's
mm-hmm.
four out of the last five that are on these national television slate. They were doing all that bitching. They don't have no excuse now. That's the legs that they've been laying on national
mm-hmm.
television.
Mm-hmm.
You got to believe that that is a wrap with that. So. Anything else, John, NFL-related?
I think we kind of covered it all, man. I think we kind of covered it all.
Okay. We're going to do a quick ad read. When we come back, we're going to hit the college football world. Stay tuned with us. We'll be right back.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose, because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm insurance agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you'd do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-8255. 3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We also want to thank our sponsor, Maverick Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created and dreams are born, specializing in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, Jeeps, and trucks. Offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide, check them out today, MaverickCustomMotorsports.com. Use the promo code CROSSROADS in your checkout and get an exclusive discount. Be sure to let them know that Crossroads Sports sent you. Like I said, Maverick Custom Motorsports down in Miami. Give them a call. Check out their website. Mm-hmm. Check out their Facebook page. They'll get you hooked up. They ship it anywhere you need them to ship it. So go check out that great, great sponsor.
Crossroads Sports would like to thank Wiseman Logistics. Their team is dedicated to the successful delivery of your packages. Services, domestic or commercial, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Call 877-744-6212 to set up your delivery. Thanks, Wiseman.
All right, and we are back. John, I do have to say that she sounds a hell of a lot better than you.
Whatever, man. We'll talk about that.
She's a pro. Pro's pro. Shout out to Wiseman Logistics and the new ad read. So, love it. College football, John. Where you want to go with this? Big Ten Championship, Michigan beat Purdue, Donovan Edwards, J.J. McCarthy, dominated performance in the second half. Boilers held in there as long as they could before it going to the wayside. Great press conference after the game that I was able to listen to. Listen to J.J. and Donovan Edwards and Jim Harbaugh. I don't believe Jim Harbaugh is leaving at all. I think he's going to be there for the good. He kind of reiterated that yesterday. But though, just those teams, those guys have bought in so much. They sounded so professional, the most professional press conference I've ever heard. I was very, very impressed, not only by them, talking about the community, the school, Purdue, Indianapolis, the teammates, everything that they were talking about was very, very respectful, and they've got a great thing going up there in Ann Arbor, and hopefully they'll carry that torch for the Big Ten and can take at least one of the two teams to the national championship. Any other thoughts on Big Ten championship wise that we didn't cover the other night from you?
Nah, man. It was just a great game, man. Purdue just didn't have enough to, like, man, Michigan started running the ball, man, and didn't have enough to, like, kind of to stop it, man. And, like you said on the other night show, man, you're trading touchdowns for field goals, man, and you can't do that. Now, you know, Stanford is more than three every time, so. Purdue, I know there's a lot of news out of Purdue today. So whether how they rebound and get back into next year remains to be seen. But, like, no, man, you got to tip your hat to Michigan. They have put themselves in to be back-to-back Big Ten champions and back-to-back representatives from the Big Ten in the college football championship, man. Harbaugh's put something together special.
Yeah. We'll stay on Purdue real quick. Came out today, finally, that Jeff Brohm is leaving, taking a six-year, $35 million deal with Louisville, his alma mater. Press conference will be soon. He did let the players know earlier today. They said that it was a matter of time, in my opinion, that he was going to do this. Everybody knew he was going to end up in Louisville. When he didn't go there the first time, it's good for him. Like I said previously, it was time for him to go for two things. Number one, if they would have lost that game to IU, I was calling for his head. But secondly, you got to the Big Ten Championship with this squad, this team. I don't know how many more chances you're going to have with that, especially with Wisconsin getting fickle in there and them growing. And then you got USC and UCLA coming over. Those opportunities may be dwindling even more. So, go to an ACC team, ACC conference, where you've got a Clemson who's a little shaky. You've got Miami who's not any good right now. But you got some NC State. You got some schools. Louisville can beat these schools. They can. And they've got the talent, too. And they've got the NIL money. There was three recruits that Jeff Brohm was going after that the Purdue NIL people did not want to give the money to. they didn't want to give that much money to. Those three end up going to Louisville. Louisville will give that money. So it's almost a no-brainer that he was going to go there. Better resources for the NIL and such, that they're opening it up down there at Louisville than they are at Purdue. So not a shocker to me. I was waiting on for it to happen. It's good for him. Now for Purdue, how are you going to build on this? Because you have to take a step forward from the Big Ten championship game. Take a step forward. We can't take steps back. We can't have another Daryl Hazel-esque person come back in this program and set it back 3, 4, 5, 6 years. It'll be interesting to see who they bring in here, John. I texted you this morning just some of the candidates I was hearing. Nothing really blew me away, but, I mean, I'd like the Wake Forest guy, Clawson. I think he'd be good there. But we'll see. I don't want a Mac guy. Please do not bring in a Mac guy.
Mm.
They tried it.
Well, you see, they already tried that.
Hazel.
Well, right. Well, I don't know. Maybe we haven't heard anything like a plan of succession with anybody from Brown's staff. So, who knows who's going to be the next head coach of Purdue football? Man, it's definitely, like I said, a blow. I still think Purdue is a good place for a college football coach wants to set up stakes, there. It's just that there's probably a whole lot that people are going to be hesitant of. And I would say, like, long-term, as the Big Ten changes, the landscape of the Big Ten changes, UCLA, USC comes over. Brandon, I'm losing my mind. They're saying there's going to be no divisions. I don't know how that works, but. And then I don't know how the teams like that usually are in the middle of the Big Ten, the Illinois of the world, the Purdue's of the world, even the Minnesota's of the world, how you don't necessarily get lost in the shuffle if you're not super special year over year over year. So it's going to be real interesting. Like I said, Jeff Rahm didn't want to navigate some of those waters. And, it's not necessarily all cakes and easy to get to the, in ACC, but like you said, more NIL opportunities over here at Win Louisville. Better way to maybe potentially grow the program, right? Than what Purdue was offering. So Purdue doesn't want to leave the Big Ten in football, so they just don't necessarily want to suck either. So I would assume they're gonna go after somebody a name brand, not necessarily somebody a Mac guy, but who that person is right now, I couldn't tell you.
Gotcha.
Tomlin, maybe Tomlin.
Mike Tomlin Jr.?
No.
Kevin Sumlin? That's what he reminds me of.
Yeah, that's what it is.
John, did you see the Indiana Hoosiers football schedule next year? Are they sure they want to bring in a new coach for that? I've got them winning two games.
You said two games?
The first game of the year, John. First game of the year, guess who they got? Ohio State University.
Well, okay.
Game one. Then they take on Indiana State, the Fighting Sycamore Trees. Okay, so there. Then they go to Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium, and they take on Louisville. Guess who their coach is? You're going to see a familiar face, Jeff Brohm.
Right.
Yeah. Then they play Akron, at Maryland, at Michigan, home against Rutgers, at Penn State versus Wisconsin.
You won't even get them to beat Akron? You said they can't beat Akron?
No, that's two. That's their two wins.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Akron and Indiana State.
I don't know if they can beat Akron.
When you got Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, Wisconsin, Illinois, all on the roster, all on the schedule this year. Ooh, it's a murderous row next year for the Hoosiers. Woo. Better keep Tom out one more year. You don't want a brand new coach to come in and go 2-9 his first year.
And you saying Indiana State and Akron, the only games they're going to win?
Only games they're going to win. Clip it.
I don't know if they're going to beat Akron.
Listen, next year, the 2 years from now is when the new coach needs to come in, because you got to play Florida International. You play them at home. You got to go to Louisville, take on Louisville. So that's the home-and-home series. And then you got to take on Charlotte, the 49ers. That's two wins right there. And by that point, somebody's got to be god-awful in the Big Ten. So you got to figure it out. I mean, man, they're going to see Jeff Brohm quite – I'm looking at their schedule right now. They're going to see Jeff Brohm a lot. The next 3 years, they play Louisville. And then in 2026, they drop Louisville and pick up Ball State. And them Cardinals. So.
Well, Ball State needs some players. So if you,
yeah, Carson Steele transferring, John. Where did it say where he's going to? Have they said yet, or is he just answering the portal?
No, you know, everybody saw that there's over 1,000 kids in the portal. You know, saying there's a Pied Piper out there in Boulder, Colorado. That, you know, saying people are sending like mad tape, and you know, saying so there's going to be some people that end up out there, names that end up out there with Deion and
go ahead and get into it, John. Go ahead and get into it.
Huh?
I said go ahead and get into it.
There's gonna be some names out there. I mean, there's people already transferred. The quarterback from Pitt, he transferred.
Better name.
The quarterback from, I forgot. I know right close to home. He's transferred. There's guys from the teams in the CFP. They decided to enter the portal. The guys from Alabama, believe it or not, decided to enter the portal. Not
can,
necessarily like there's no
can
game like
couple,
right.
Can I ask you a
sure,
question?
Go ahead. Yeah.
And I want you to put your hat on as sports fan / analyst, and then on your second hat, I want you to put it on as a parent.
Okay.
Is there a problem with what Deion said to those players of Colorado when he said, you better get your stuff ready to get in that portal? I see a lot of people pissed about it.
Man, those are the true things about – so, like, Colorado, in my lifetime, Colorado used to be in these conversations of, like, well, Colorado's going to this bowl and Colorado's going to that bowl and Colorado – and, like, right now, in the last two seasons, that I can pick up off the top of my head, maybe four. Colorado ain't been in nobody's bowl game of significance. They've been in some bowl games, or maybe they've been in some games where, oh, man, Colorado beat Iowa. Oh, wow. Who cares? Colorado used to be competing for a national championship or be in the conversation for said things. Like, so Deion goes there. We all know that he's going to bring cameras and whatnot with him. So it's not like he's not saying anything that – these kids haven't heard, or guys, they're not kids. These guys have, remember, these aren't gay people. These aren't kids anymore. They're paid athletes. Criticism comes with the game. They haven't won. Did they win two games this year, Brandon? Did Colorado win two games in conference play this year? I don't think they did. Then you're not good enough to be. I mean, Deion's probably already assessed who he wants to be here or not. It is what it is, man.
1-11.
Damn, I gave him one game. 1-11. The University of Colorado is way, I mean, a 1-11 team. You tell me Northwestern is 1-11 in the Big Ten, I'm like, yeah, I can see that. I understand why. If you tell me Colorado is 1-11 Pac-12 play, it doesn't make sense. They're better than that. Deion Sanders is there to turn that culture around.
I'm looking at the teams. The only team they beat, and they beat them in overtime, was Cal, 20-13. They lost 38-13 to TCU on opening weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Lost 41-10 to Air Force. They lost 49-7 to Minnesota. Ooh, now that's – Minnesota ain't nothing. They lost to UCLA 45-17. Oregon State, they lost 42-9. Oregon beat them 49-10. USC beat them 55-17. Washington beat them 54-7. And Utah beat them like a drum 63-21. But Deion Sanders taking over, bringing the son in there, quarterback, yada, 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 Jackson State. First game of the year, John, Nebraska. 100 years of Colorado football. And the first game anniversary game is against Nebraska, the old rivals from the Big 12, Matt Rhule versus Deion Sanders, week one.
Love it. going to be a lot. Game day will be in attendance. And if Crossroads Sports got to do that, we might have to road trip up to Boulder.
Because
game day will be there.
Oh yeah. What was your thoughts on Jackson State, man? They pretty pissed off there. The fan base seems like. What was the song they were playing in the stadium and dancing to?
You got me, man. You got me. But here's what I tell you, what Brandon, the fan bases don't understand that. I bet you Athletic Direct and all the businesses around there, they didn't have no problem. They recouped money. They got money from the polarizing effect of having Deion Sanders as being the head coach of a historical black university, right? So nobody ever talks about it like that. Nobody ever talks about it. They never will tell you how much money they made, right? They understood that they could not afford Deion Sanders. Okay, they go from $300,000 to five million. They couldn't price match. We all know what price match is. If you used to work at the blue big electronic blue. You know what I'm saying? We all know what price matching is, right? They couldn't price match, man, with the University of Colorado, man. So, again, if anybody listening, we're gonna learn more about HBCU football and athletics. You know what I'm saying? As when all that kind of picks up next year here on our show, I've kind of made it. You know what I'm saying? Something that I kind of just want to kind of call attention. Deion Sanders. I get it, but he is a polarizing individual, but he isn't a qualifier for if you feel that you want to watch a brand of football or sports, then watch it. Deion don't have to give you a validation. It's crazy.
I mean, the fact is you got Deion in the field, and then they show him. He was at the celebration. He was telling everybody, get the hell, let's go, let's go, let's wrap this shit up.
Well, he had to go to Colorado.
Yeah, I know, right? He's ready to
but
go.
But then guess what, Brandon? He's back to freaking Jackson State the next day because he wants to coach him. He wants to get. Some people say that he should just get out of the way because he's being he's getting in the way and he's being irritant and but like, dude, I thought Brian Kelly should have stayed with the team last year when he took the job at LSU. I did. Why not? This is your team. Go play. Go coach him in the bowl, man, and then you can go to LSU.
We love his Southern hospitality, though.
Oh, wow. Yeah, him and his fake news, fake accent, right.
I'm going to play this, but I don't even know what the song is. But they were playing this for Deion during the game, and everybody's clapping, waving goodbye to him. If you're leaving, go ahead and leave then. That's dirty. They play him beyond dirty. And he's brought nothing but 24 wins and zero losses to him.
24 wins, zero losses, and probably a boatload of money that nobody knows about other than the ADs and whatnot. But, hey, you know what?
Mississippi being sour.
Right.
What else? I got John. Max Duggan. Heart of a champion. My God, crying after the game, but left it all out there. TCU still got a shot, John. They're going to be taking on the Michigan Wolverines. How much of a chance do you give them?
I don't know, man. I kind of like their chances. They really have to do play air-free football, which is kind of not necessarily their calling card. They like to make a couple of errors and get behind. And if you get behind Michigan, they'll just kind of put it on cruise control and just kind of run it out on you. So they can't make some of the same or similar errors they did against Kansas State. I still believe that they're a better team than Kansas State. That's a game, again, I know we talked to a blue. I thought that they won. I thought the running back, when he broke the plane, I thought that was a touchdown right there, man. The game should have been called right there. But then they had another play, and they didn't get it. TCU went for it on fourth down. They didn't get it. Kansas State gets the ball, they score a touchdown. The game's over. Not a touchdown, a field goal. The game's over. So a lot of these teams aren't built like some of the teams we've been known to have, like, you know what I'm saying, just a level lines of starters and backups that can be starters here. That's not TCU for. TCU has good guys you're going to see on the next level. Max Duggan, you see on the next level. The running back's pretty good. You'll see him on the next level. Definitely the wideouts, you'll see them on the next level. But coming outside of that, and then they got a good defense too. But again, they'll spot you. They'll spot you 10 points and then try to play catch up. And like in the Big 12, you can get away with that. And some of the teams they played, they got away with that. Playing against a Big 10 team like Michigan, who has their head thinking national championship and the rematch against Georgia, and like we know what we can do. We probably worked on beating Georgia. We just went through the whole season, and now we're here. We got rid of the Ohio State. Come on, man. Bring on Georgia. They want to beat Georgia. I mean, they're not calling out Georgia. But they want to they want to beat Georgia. They want to do something special. So
right.
I think, like I said, TCU would have to play a perfect game where they didn't get behind. And I've watched 80% of their games, dude. And 80% of the games, that's how they play, dude. They like to get behind. So I give them a slight chance because they do have a bit of an air raid, and they can score fast. You saw it. If anybody watched them play against Kansas State, they can score in bunches very fast. But again, man, they like to get down. So in a control game, I like Michigan. Beating them in a very controlled scoring game.
I did find yesterday, or a tweet today. These are the programs with the most portal entries from yesterday, well, from 2 days ago and yesterday. This is just in 2 days. In 2 days worth of portal entries. Louisiana Tech, 18. Colorado State, 17. Texas A&M, 16. And they had the number one class for a couple of years. Arkansas was 15. Kent State, 14. Oklahoma State, 13. Oregon, 13. Maryland, 12. Virginia Tech, 12. Washington State, 12. Jackson State, 11. And guess who's right there tied with 11? Alabama. 11 people leaving Alabama. John.
Not happy. Not happy.
I'm trying
and
to see.
Where they go, where they end up, nobody knows. But
did you see JT Daniels today?
I seen Slavis too.
Man, he's going for his fourth different team.
So anybody doesn't know what we're talking about, JT Daniels transferred from Arizona State. You know, again, they were blaming Herm Edwards. They cost Herm Edwards his job at halftime. They got fired at halftime because the team quit on it. And the dang old offensive coordinator or whoever, some assistant coach back bit Herm Edwards too, right? Slovis, another quarterback from the USC branch, who I was high on at one point, transferred to Pitt. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's not the program. Sometimes it's the player. And Slovis, he's transferring again too. So, you know, I get it, man. You want to get your back. You thinking in their mind, young mind, man, they're thinking like, dude, I just got to get back to whatever, 2019. Well, you know what, man? Maybe I don't know. I don't know what's going on in JT Daniels' mind. Like, you've played two pretty significant programs. Arizona State, when Herm was there, they were playing significant football to the point that they actually were challenging. I think they were top three in the Pac-12. Again, he left there for greener pastures of the LSU. Dude, it only got harder, remember? When you went to LSU, you went to a quote-unquote real football. So what do you run away from, JT Daniels? Man, he had a lot of promise coming out of school, man. And I thought he was – I thought he was going to be in this draft coming up. Like, you know what I'm saying, top five quarterback. Like now you jump from school to school, man. I don't know about that kid, man, at all. On the next level next year.
Spencer Sanders from Oklahoma State, QB, 3-year starter. Transferring out of the portal. He's leaving Oklahoma State. Don't know where he's going to end up, but
they're getting rubbed. They getting, you know what I'm saying, somebody told them they can get greener money over here, bigger money over here, right? And they whatever school, then probably outbid them. And then some of them also are probably legit pissed at their playing time.
Purdue has an offensive lineman, 3-year guard, transferring. He's entering the portal. Devin Leary from NC State. He's going to the portal. That's crazy. Well, who's going to be? Our boy Carson Steele, John. Put up 1,500 rushing yards and 15 touchdowns. He's in the portal. Graham Mertz, your boy, going back into the portal again. We'll see what happens with Mertz. Yeah, just a lot. Oh, DJ Uiagalelei, I said. He's going into the portal.
Right.
Nick Everts, Oklahoma freshman quarterback, going to there. He was backing up Gabriel this past season. But they've already – Oklahoma's got a five-star Jackson Arnold committed for 2023 for Oklahoma coming in. And then our boy from Texas, Hudson Card – or Card – yeah, Hudson Card. Give us somebody up at Purdue. Give us one of these guys. We'll take them. We'll see what happens up there.
Right.
I want to know your thoughts on this, John. This will probably give you a little hot button. What about Jackson Smith Enigma? He was a little bit hurt, whatever, and he says, you know what? I'm skipping the college football playoff. I'm getting ready for the draft. I'm done.
Who did this? No, I'm sorry.
Jackson Smith Enigma, wide receiver, Ohio State. They're number two.
Man, you know, somebody – so, like, in this new millennial way of thinking, man, and if anybody is offended by that way of me saying that, in this new millennial way of thinking, somebody's going to say, well, that's okay, man. It's his right to do so. And he's right. He's preparing for a draft. Doesn't want to get hurt. But, like, dude, this is true. But, like, man, you're sitting your teammate out high and dry. How many times did anybody get this chance to be national champion? Right. And now, Brandon, we're not talking about where there's money under the table anymore. We're talking about guys getting paid now. So you really are quitting the team now, Brandon. It's not like, well, this guy's going to get – he's going to get paid over here because he's not getting paid over here. You join the team, be with the team. Then, I don't know, man. It just sends a bad message. To me, it just sends a bad message. Like, so I'm supposed to draft him? I'm supposed to put him on my – he's a mercenary, Brandon. You quit Ohio State?
Yeah.
You quit Ohio State? It like, they was like, you know.
It's like Bosa. Bosa did the same thing.
Well, that was the time. So again, that was a different time. That was before NIL. And when we knew that money wasn't necessarily, I get it, man, maybe Bosa was probably getting some money. Who knows? But that was before NIL. And I get it, man, the NFL check is bigger. But, like, daggone, man. They were campaigning. Ohio State wasn't campaigning as high as Nick Saban was. Nick Saban had on his suit jacket and was campaigning trying to get back into the CFP. But, you know, you go to Ohio State to become a professional football player. Secondly, win national championships. And, like, that's the commitment. I don't know, man. Guys, you're dumping it. You get to your team, gets the national championship game, and then you quit. I don't know, man. Kind of kooky. Maybe you should have went to Ohio instead of Ohio State.
Right. No, Justin, he won't be the only one opting out, which makes our picks even harder when we do our picks. But I do like there is some I do like already. I already see some lines that I really, really like.
Once in a lifetime. Game, man. Once in a lifetime game.
Yeah. John, what is our so we've got a show next week. Next week we will do the first 13 bowls. The first 13 bowls of bowl season. We will do those picks next week during our regular show. And then the following week we'll do the next 13 bowls. And then the following week we have 15 bowls we got to pick. So,
oh my God.
We're hitting every single bowl. This is the postseason. The regular season ratings, let me see the rankings. I got them on here on the Facebook Live. The regular season pick'em is done officially. All three of us went 5-3 last week during the conference championship. I finished winning. I won. I was below 500, but I was 63-66-3. Jonathan was 57-72-3, and Tanner finished second at 61-68-3. So I beat Tanner by two games, and I beat John by six. So the regular season is over. This will go on. I'll put the standings in an Excel file like I do every year. That will conclude our regular season pick'em. We've got bull pick'em, so the records will reset for bowls, and we'll see how we do for all 41 bowl games. overall, John, we picked, let's see, let's just see here, 9-2, picked 142 games total is what we picked this past season. So we'll see what happens with the bowl season. But we got bowl season coming up. We'll get our picks in next week. Those will be posted as well. Every week we're going to have 13, 13, and I think it's 15. And then the national championship pick will come that week before the Natty. We'll make sure we get that in.
Right.
Aaron Judge, 9 years, $360 million from the Yankees.
Big money, man. Bet it on himself. You know what I'm saying? They offered him money in the summertime. I remember we kind of talked about it. I thought he was going to walk. Because this is, you know, and I was like, I couldn't believe, like, dude, I can just walk away from $215 million. But, you know, this is how you can walk with $215 million. You walk away. You bet on yourself. You set a record. You break, well, you tie Maris, right? Basically. Oh, did he? No, he did break it. He won.
Broke it. Yeah, he broke it.
And you know, and you're clean. There's no cloud of juice. Alleged, right? Oh, wow, Brandon. There's no juice bat, right?
I mean, you got to say
like
it.
That. Right. And, you know, $360 million, the Yankees, I probably definitely didn't want to go to, they didn't want to go over 300. But with the Maris record and him being a fan favorite, there you go, man. He's a Yankee. How can you hate it? I don't know. I haven't necessarily broken down a baseball tally captain a long time, Brandon. That's a shame on me, as I call myself for being a sports analyst of all the jack of all trades, right? But I just don't know how much left. What else? I mean, you know, the Yankees don't care about going too much over salary caps or anything like that. But I just don't know how much is left and what else they might need in that. I know they need pitching.
The lineup sucks. I looked at it today. Like, there's some good players, but there's still three or so positions that are soft. That they need to, they should have upgraded.
Right.
And they lost some pitching.
Right. And that's, like I said, I know they need the pitching. That's kind of what they struggled at in the postseason last year. So he'll be a face for them, you know what I'm saying, obviously, and a name. Can he do it again, get into the 60s? I don't know. But if he floats around in the 40s for the next 4 or 5 seasons, man, he'll go down as a Yankee legend. And who knows what happens with the salary cap? They might bring it or a trade, and away they go. They might be back into an independent race.
Yeah. Some other notable free agent baseball contracts, because free agency has started. Wilson Contreras, catcher for the Cubs. He signed a 5-year, $87 million deal with the Cardinals, so he jumps over to the rival Cardinals. Kenley Jansen agreed with the Red Sox on the $32 million deal, 2 years. If you remember, Jansen used to be an old Dodger closer back in the day. Left-hander Jose Quintana agreed with the Mets on a 2-year, $26 million deal. Quintana, $26 million. The Cubs got an agreement with free agent pitcher Jameson Taillon, 4 years, $68 million. Taillon comes over from the Yankees. We talked about their pitching, but they've bolstered their rotation now with Max Stroman, Kyle Hendricks, and now they've got Taillon in there as well. The Phillies making moves like crazy. You talk about salary cap. They went and got Tajuan Walker, 4 years, $72 million deal from the Mets. He was a starting pitcher for the Mets. And then a couple days before that, the Phillies went out and got Trey Turner, shortstop from the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. 11 years, $300 million, John. Unbelievable. But Phillies just keep loading up. They're ready for that stretch run. They've got a solid squad. They're my preseason pick to win the World Series next year.
All right.
And just looking, Cody Bellinger left the Dodgers, went to the Cubs on a 1-year deal, $17 million. And then Justin Verlander went to the Mets. So Verlander and Scherzer now are teammates again, like they were when they were in Detroit, but now they're on the Mets.
Right, right.
2 years, $86 million for a 40-year-old ace.
They can't say him.
Jacob DeGrom. Well, yeah. And Jacob DeGrom, two-time Cy Young winner, signed a 5-year, $185 million with the Texas Rangers. So we'll see. DeGrom can't stay healthy either. So that's just as much. All these moves and more, you can find them online. My Cincinnati Reds, zero moves. Zero moves. We're asleep at the wheel again. So not a shocker that they're not doing any free agency. I guess they must be doing the old strategy, wait everybody else fills up their contracts, and then they go out and get somebody on the cheap. College basketball, John, Purdue, number 4 in the latest AP poll. They're beating Hofstra right now like a drum. IU lost over the weekend to Rutgers at Rutgers. They dropped to number 14, and they got a tough one tonight. They take on Nebraska in the Friday and Fred Hoiberg's. The only reason I say it's tough Nebraska, John, Nebraska just went in and beat Creighton at Creighton over the weekend.
Right. It's a better Nebraska team. If anybody remembers Fred Hoiberg, he's the mayor. He's Pacers. He's also been a head coach of the Chicago Bulls at one point. Fred Herbert also was a head coach at one point. I do believe. Did they get to the Sweet 16, that Iowa State team?
Yes.
Can't remember. Yeah, they did. So, but anyway, Fred Hoiberg is probably a little bit better fit collegially than he found. He took some lumps in Nebraska, right? But this team now is hitting on all cylinders, man. So that game against IU, against them is not going to be easy at all, man. So definitely a game just to check for. Man, when I think about some of the teams from around the country, yes, you definitely got to mention Purdue, as they are definitely undefeated, a force to be reckoned. Zach Edey is definitely a force inside to be reckoned with. He's already getting the National Player of the Year honors. But, you know what I'm saying, mentions it for darn sure. So, man, again, you got to like what you see out of Purdue. Houston, the University of Houston, and our IU former coach, Kelvin Sampson, man, they're number one. They play teams, they're undefeated, they play teams real close, real tight, and then they also have the ability to blow out some teams. So, man, again, we'll see them. We've seen them come to our rise during the last two Final Four tournaments, man. I think Houston will be right there again, man. So I'm attuned to it. There's a lot of parity, I would say, in college basketball. Here locally, man, you know, Indiana State, they're chucking out victories, man, and you know, Ball State's, you know, floating around 500, man. So, you know, like I said, man, a lot of parity in college basketball right now. Either A, everybody is scheduling real good this year, and you know, so there's really not a real dominant team right now, or, you know what I'm saying, once, you know what I'm saying, everybody's season kind of starts and then after that, see, when the real season starts, that'd be the tournament. Like, you know what I'm saying, I think North Carolina, teams like North Carolina are ready to flip a switch. And, heck, even Gonzaga has taken some lumps this year, I think. But, right, you know what I'm saying, they'll be battle-tested. And then come March, they'll, you know what I'm saying, their names we'll be talking about too. But, like, yeah, a lot of parity right now in college basketball.
Yeah. I do want to read something I just saw. So all these kids are putting in their transfer portal announcements with thanking and yada, yada, yada or whatnot.
Right.
I want to read what Dylan Johnson, and it just came out 37 minutes ago. Dylan Johnson did one, and the caption is just thank you, hashtag Hail State Forever. Dylan Johnson played for Mississippi State, Mike Leach. I'm going to read his thing. First quote, first and foremost, I would like to thank God for giving me the opportunity to showcase my talents at the college level. Without him, I have nothing. Secondly, I would like to thank my family and friends for the endless love and support they have shown me throughout this season. To Mississippi State University, my teammates, trainers, and amazing fans, it's been an honor to participate in this program with all of you. Together, you guys have helped me build my character and skills tremendously. With that being said, since I am not very tough and Leach is glad that I am leaving, I will be entering my name to the transfer portal with the hopes of finding a more fitting playing environment for me. Thank you.
So you guys wrote that?
Yeah, he wrote that.
Oh, man, Mike Leach never ceases to amaze me, man. Wow.
Oh, these kids are just somebody just tweeted. I was literally just getting ready to say how stupid all these announcements are, but this one was – pretty funny.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Shoot. Trying to think the last thing I got for you, and I don't know if what you have anything for me. Give me a second, John. I just saw it. Anything? I don't really have anything on the Pacers. I mean, they're kind of going through
Now. Yeah, they saved themselves, you know what I'm saying, a decent little road trip, man. It obviously could have been better, man. Another, you know what I'm saying, put another little shocker on the veteran team like Golden State, man. We got us a player in Nembhard. If you're a Pacers fan, you got depth, man. Think about it. Chris Durant hasn't been playing. Miles Turner has been playing, and the Pacers still look pretty darn good. And they don't even have all their ponies out there. So I get it. Them Clippers took them to the woodshed. Utah took them to the woodshed. But tonight you got
they beat the Lakers. They beat the Warriors.
Beat the Lakers, right? Beat the Warriors, right? Tonight you got the Carl Anthony Towns minus less. You know, say he's not playing tonight. The Minnesota Timberwolves, man. Finish strong, man. Beat this team and then come on back home. I think they got a homestand coming up. So, beat Minnesota come on back home.
Two things I have: breaking news. Quarterback Drake May is announcing he is returning to North Carolina for next season. He's heading back to UNC. John, real quick, your take on the Trey Young and Nate McMillan issues.
Just, you know, different generations, man. Nate is from, different, like where the leader of the team plays a little differently and plays a little bit more smarter, man. We know Trey Young doesn't really get into a defensive stand. We know Trey Young takes bad shots. He hits a lot of good shots, those thrilling deep threes, but he also takes a lot of bad shots. These are the things that Nate wants him to play better, so that they can take the next step. That team is good enough to take the next step. But it can only do so with Trey Young, the leader, isn't playing like careless basketball, turning it over, taking bad shots, and not getting back in, at least getting in front of his own man, right? And so, you know, a lot of those things, like, again, Nate's action for demand, you know, again, he's from a different era. Like, dude, we try to win. You out here trying to play and score 40. There's two different, right. It was two different things, and everybody, like you said, Brad Stevens, remember he said, everybody, we're all trying to win. We all got to be going the same direction at the same time. And but unfortunately, though, Brandon, it's a fight, if it is that Nate's not going to win, because organization would rather let the player mature before they take that side before they take the coach's side, unfortunately. So hopefully it's just something that maybe I've blown out of proportion. And it's watering the bridge because, like, again, I like Nate and I kind of like Trey Young. So you don't want to have Trey Young. Like, he got Nate McMillan fired. Come on, man.
Right. Last thing I have is shout out, happy birthday, Larry Bird, the legend. I'll let you do your last things, John, and then once you finish, you can wrap us, brother.
Dude, I don't have too much anymore. At all, man. Like I said, NBA season still kind of pretty much in its infancy, man. I see a lot of things, a lot of trends, man. Boston looks real good. So does the Bucks, man. On the other side of the pond, on the other side of the map, the Lakers aren't terrible, but and not as Golden State, but man, those old guys got to get some help from some of those young legs they got on those teams, man. Outside of that, man, Phoenix looks real good out west. They really do. Other than that, man, me and Brandon will be back next week, man, with another great show. Like I said, Brandon, we'll be breaking down some more bowl games. We'll talk some more NBA. Definitely talking about some more NFL. Hopefully the Colts don't do anything more embarrassing, right? Well, they can't because they're on a bye this week, right? But, like, no, man, thanks to everybody who chimed in on the Facebook Live. Thanks to everybody who chimed in. I know we got a lot of messages. You know, saying personal on Texas and whatnot that I got. It was like, hey, why aren't y'all talking about this? I'm sorry. You should have called in if you wanted to talk about whatever. But like, no, man, we had a great show tonight. Like I said, thanks for everybody for chiming in on the Facebook Live. Thanks for our sponsors, Mavericks Custom Motorsports, Washington Logistics, and Scott K. Nichols State Farm Insurance. How could we do this show without them? Outside of that, man, we'll try to do it bigger and better next week. Thanks everybody for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.